So let's call to order the regular meeting of the North Bank Planning Commission for Thursday, July 14th, 2016. First item on the agenda is to approve the agenda for tonight. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve.
And a second?
Second.
All right. Any changes or comments? Okay. All those in favor of tonight's agenda say aye.
Aye.
The agenda is approved. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes for June 9th, 2016 Planning Commission meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes.
And a second?
Second.
Any comments or changes? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes say aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Next item on tonight's agenda is public comment on non-agenda items. Seeing no one from the public present, we will move on to item number four, the introduction to amendments to residential design standards for single family and cottages in North Bend Municipal Code 18.34.050. So I will turn it over to Ms. Estep for introduction.
All right. Thank you, Gary. So what we have tonight is, as you know, the City Council's been kind of looking at our different codes and really trying to beef up areas where we feel we could improve in the realm of retaining our small town character, rural small town character, and providing more diversity in the design of the new neighborhoods going in. The term that's been used recently is the sea of sameness. You know, production building is getting into this habit of really just, you know, they will slap up the same house and repeat it if, or every other house if we don't have regulations. So we actually have a pretty decent current code with regard to residential design standards. And what you have here, 18.34.050, if you think about it from a topic tonight, think about the structure up versus there's so many other site planning issues that go into design, like curvature of the streets, park sizes, you know, planter strip size, trees. This is really more oriented to the structure. So what we did is we kind of worked with our architect. We hired an architect who assists us often with when we have large commercial development and giving kind of good suggestions where we can make improvements. And so we called him in on this and said, hey, you know, we'd like to beef it up, still make North Bend buildable, but, you know, maybe create a culture that is a little more in line with, you know, the older version, which has many more different housing looks and feels and size and setbacks and this and that, more organic. So, you know, so he did. He took a look at this, and my thought was, if this, you guys are going to have a public hearing on this next meeting, and we're moving quickly to keep things coming towards you to kind of make these accomplishments. So, you know, I would be happy to invite him to next meeting, depending on the questions you have, because architectural questions sometimes are best just addressed by the architect. I call him in when I need him, so we could do that too. So basically, I don't know what if it's better to walk you through the areas that we've provided some additional language and kind of explain our thinking there, or would it be easier just to have you guys start with questions?
So I'll open up to the commission what your preference is. In the past, especially in the first introduction, we kind of have walked through it, and then questions seem to arise.
Sure, okay.
If that's okay, go through that.
Okay. So the first one is building variation. So, and tell me, you can guys tell me if I'm going too simplifying too much. But so, you know, an elevation is the exterior look of the house. That truly is what matters from a public realm standpoint. So what we care about as a commission really is more about what the house looks like from the exterior, which is the public benefit. But to create and get that exterior change, you do have to create a requirement for a different floor plan. And that also helps just provide options, housing options too. But so what we did here is we had previously, for 16 or less homes, we were requiring two different floor plans. And then below that, we had for So two different floor plans.
Jenna, I'm not sure if I correctly understand a mirrored plan. Is that just a duplicate?
Yeah. Okay. So sometimes if they'll try to say it's a different home because it is kind of a different facade, a different elevation. But so when we say mirrored, do not count as different floor plans.
So in that instance, they're just changing the facade, the public part of it, but not the floor plan behind it. And you want them to actually have both variations.
Right. So a mirrored one, usually you could have like the porch and the bay window sticking out over here. And then on this side, the porch would be over here and the bay window here. So when you look at them, they're looking the same. Floor plans are all the same. So by not allowing mirrored ones to count as different floor plans, even though there's a argument that they are, it just requires more diversification.
Mm-hmm. Got it, okay. So within that, I mean, I'm thinking, okay, there's a mirror which would have equal dimensions, but then you would have one that maybe has a 5-foot bay window versus a 4-foot.
No,
aesthetically, that's going to look about the same. So where does that line?
A floor plan is more, and maybe a floor plan is more about the interior layout.
No, I understand that. But so, like, but looking at it for the public benefit, mm-hmm. we're talking about, like, I guess in my mind, without adequate definition, just different. I mean, the same look, slightly different dimensions. Is that also going to be
for the elevation? So you're talking now. So let's
exterior.
Yeah, so
am I getting ahead of this?
No, it's the same section. So so basically the floor plan is interior, so then the you're on to the elevation, which is what the very important part of it. So we've upped the amount of elevations. So when we're saying when varying elevations is required, which it's for more than four, a minimum of the three variation must be utilized. Okay, differing window sizes and placement. So if somebody, so the word and placement kind of gets away from that. Okay, great, you've expanded the bay window size, but come on, it's the same window.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Right?
Yeah, so placement is usually where we can say, no, you have to, you know, they'll change that bay window and now into two broken up, you know. Now,
so I guess that would lead me to maybe suggest
mm-hmm.
eliminating the word size to not open up the possibility of that becoming an issue and just leaving it as, for example, on A, differing window design and placement. Because then you get, and I don't know the market, I don't know the industry, but it would seem that by just eliminating that as an option.
What about size and design? Because the commas is basically saying one or, but if we say size and, because that really actually requires both. Because what I like about size is you want bigger windows. So they will naturally provide a house with bigger windows if they have to change the size.
Have you all been up to the Ridge recently where they have the pull tape blocks, I call them, they're boxes.
Yeah.
And the windows, some of them are so ridiculous, well, they're very minute.
At least the ones facing the street, right?
Right, and then they're on this glorious land with this sweeping level of views, and most of the windows are minute. Which I really would be painfully not wanting anything like that to appear here. So the size, I think, really is important to look at.
Mm-hmm. Like a minimum?
I don't know how you do that.
Well, these are all good questions. That's why I think tonight's, why don't we just kind of agree that tonight's kind of, let's decide what our architectural questions are.
Okay.
Because in the end, I could think I know what a good architectural change to a house is, but then it changes all kinds of structural stuff you don't know. So mm-hmm. I always consult with the architect. So our question on this is, basically, how can we ensure window design the change of window design is actually implemented, or how would what do you think you're?
Well, I don't necessarily want to just throw it out there. I don't think this should be limited to windows. Because I guess the point I was trying to make is if you're going to get into an argument with some architect or developer and they're saying that, no, these plans are different, but in reality, like, they're exactly the same, they're just 6 inches difference, whether it's the size of the porch, or the size of the, you know, the front of the garage, whether it's a two-door or one long door, or the size of the, you know, example, bay window is 1 foot versus 2 feet. You know, the dimensions of the entire front, this is what I have in mind, I use the window as an example, in wanting more variety there and not opening it up to the potential for somebody to come in and make that argument and say, mm-hmm. and then it's be a sticking point. So
when you say a differing floor plan, are there certain criteria that they have to meet to call it a different floor plan? I think that's kind of what Curtis is describing as, what do you call a different floor plan? But to Mary's point, are those windows up on the ridge, are they operable in any way?
I don't know. I haven't discovered that yet. There's about 6 houses out there right now that have been developed.
Yeah, I think that would be something we ask staff, what the correct language is, to make sure that the windows are of adequate size and style for the
You know, one of my questions as well is sincerely about the placement of the structure itself. I'm constantly amazed at where, you know, these beautiful views and the house is angled, where it's escaping the prominent views potentially. And it's facing somewhere.
Maximizing the size on the lot.
Well, that's a funny one. You know, we've had a lot of conversation on that.
Yeah.
And the oddest thing about North Bend, so I recently had a friend selling a house over in Cedar Falls, so I went to that open house. And I thought that house was not oriented to the views until I went in the backyard. And the backyard had, you know, if you were sitting like on the covered porch area, you had just a beautiful view of Mount Si. And if you were sitting on the front porch area, you actually had a nice view of Rattlesnake Ridge. And I actually walked into that house going, so we kind of have a unique... Honestly, if the only view you don't have it is if you're looking west, and all the homes so far have really been predominantly oriented north-south, so they're front. So that's a hard one. I was thinking about how we could write regulations to say orient to the views and stuff, because we have, you know, even if you look east, you have, whether it's the front of the house or the back of the house, you have views. So some people, you know, some people sit on the front porch, other people sit on the back porch. So that is a...
And my other thought is that I've been in homes that, again, it gets down to placement and the size of the windows. You can sit down in a chair and then you have that view of the side through that window. Otherwise, you have a window this whatever size.
Now that isn't, yeah, that is,
there's
the windows.
Off as you're standing. Have you ever been in a home like that?
Yeah.
You're seated or flat in the back. I'm like, whatever. Then you have that view.
Right. So now think about it from an implementation standpoint. I'm just going to play devil's advocate.
Sure.
I'm totally on board. But as I'm sitting here thinking about, like, one of our planners sitting and reviewing a building code or a building plan and saying, now if I'm sitting in the living room, will I have a view of the Mount Si? It's a tough one.
Right.
Now if I'm sitting in my house and I think, that should have a window there. That's where it's kind of like, how do you regulate some of this natural, what should, because it is going to be a hard one for a planner on paper.
Mm-hmm. I think in the end, one, you're building homes because you want to make a profit, but you also want to be able to sell those homes.
Okay.
You sell those homes either by location or views, right?
Right.
So wouldn't it be in their best interest?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, they're selling those homes. I mean, right now they're kind of going back to the window question, because it plays into this though. You know, I wrote down should there be a minimum window size? And as I wrote it, I thought, because the more prescriptive you get with architecture, actually, the more CSA-ness you create, oddly. But you always have to regulate to the lowest common denominator. So the hard part is, you know, so if we're going to regulate size of window, we would really want to regulate on the front and back, not sides and things. I don't know, because there's some small windows that can get really architecturally cool.
Mm-hmm. I have one that's about 12 inches wide, but it's 5-6 feet high, and it's in the family room where there's a vaulted ceiling, and when the sun is setting, it's what lights through
in. That's a good point. So if you were actually to allow the like an artistic design of a house, and you regulated size of window, you would regulate out that opportunity to take advantage of shadows and things.
But
to a certain extent.
Is there an opportunity to provide for the main windows of the room versus accent windows and kind of put them in a class all their own? I just don't know.
I don't know.
That's keeping my wife from agreeing to an addition because we would lose that window.
Huh.
Oh, sorry.
Well, let's think about this one, because...
So that's it. I agree with what Mary's saying, and should there be something for primary windows of the room that should be of such size that in the event of a needed escape, or how you would write that, but a person could, in an emergency, get out.
Well...
I'm not sure what the language should be. That's the only thing that's coming to mind of how to make it such a size.
I mean, I'm personally leaning away from I like more large porches. If you put a large porch in the house, you're not going to necessarily put small windows behind it. You're going to. So I think there's other ways to get to a look. I think sometimes mid-century modern has some really cool small windows that you wouldn't want to. You know, because you don't want everybody to look like Craftsman Northwest. Hopefully you get a little of that. You know, you get some different.
Provided they have connected streets, Jenna.
Right. Just connected streets are important. So,
to those porches and stoops. Is this just a change because of what's being presented in the design that we're getting some front porches versus something else?
Which are you talking about for porches?
Page 5.
Yeah, where it says for porches and 25 feet for stoops.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think what we did there is we threw in putting the stoops in there because... we had maybe a scenario or two where it was just kind of an awkward front. Like if you don't put a porch on it, you should have a significant stoop.
Mm-hmm. So 5x5.
Yeah. So we put that in the realm of wanting to clarify if so we didn't get some awkward 3-foot by. Really 3x3 would somebody do. So some of this is this we some of it isn't so much we've seen issues, but where we can clarify we are. So we thought we could throw a clarification in on the stoop. I think the
Jenna.
Uh-huh.
Just a pet peeve on page 5, and uh-huh. I know we're not gonna do grammatical stuff, but
yeah.
You crossed out 2 and you put in the number 3 instead of spelling out 3. So
yeah.
I don't know how we're being.
Oh, that's good. I don't mind. I like having one less edit I need to find myself. Think about on FC differing roof forms, including gable direction, projections, and pitch. That number F, when it comes to making a different elevation, is one of the biggest. Our architect said, you know, that is really what makes
drives a field different.
Yeah, so we're going to continue to think about that one, but if you flip to page 6 and you see reef types and it says multiple gables, hip roofs, dormers, number 4, and others are encouraged. I think we need, and now that I just read the word encouraged, I think we should say are required.
I'd be okay.
Because the important one is developments containing more than 17 units. So you can see we dropped that back from 50, which is huge.
Yeah.
Shall provide a minimum of 3 differing roof pitches from for homes within the development. So, the one question I'd like to maybe explore, we want pitch and form, not just pitch. So if we have a 6-12 pitch and then we go to a 4-12 pitch, you don't really change the look. So, so what maybe we should do is refer to...
Jenna.
Yeah?
So in single family, we're 4 about per acre, 3 to 4 per acre.
Mm-hmm.
In cottages, we're 8.
8 to 10.
8 to 10.
Or 6 to 10.
6 to 10. So I'm going to have a 2.5 acre development to hit this 17 times. But I'm not. Well, street utilities, sidewalks.
Now, keep in mind, you're going to see the cottage. Right now, cottages can be built elsewhere in town than the cottage zone. So, I have to bring forth the code as it's written, but you're then going to see the cottage code. So, we're going to review this like it affects everything, but in reviewing the cottage code, if we then go back and change some things about the cottage here, you might do that. But, just kind of hit that.
I'm just thinking in my head, you know, are available land and the developments. Should this apply to 10? Should it be something lower than 17? That's all I'm noodling. I'm trying to put that picture together of what kind of development does 17 homes look like in cottage, and it's 2.25 acres. So that's...
Well, let's write that one down for the architect, because just my little noodling on it. So a cottage cluster is going to be 12, okay? A maximum of 12 cluster around a green. So if we say that you have to have 3 different roof types within a cluster of 12, some of those, you know, sometimes when you have tight, intimate spaces, like the Kirkland Cottage, the Daniels Grove, I would almost say they have almost all the same roof pitches. I mean, yeah, they're not. They're more architecturally interesting because in the articulation and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, it might be odd to have like a lot. I don't know, and that's why I'm thinking. Well, that's my perspective, but let's get an architect to give us some feedback on this one.
It's a fair consideration.
So what should
Because it's, you've got to weigh developmental costs and feasibility, right?
Yeah, and then somewhat just kind of...
And resources, too.
Yeah, and you know, so a vibe. So you're kind of, in a tight, intimate space, you're trying to create a certain energy. And if it's too disjointed, it almost might not work. Because there's some really cool bungalows like on down in West Seattle and stuff that are, there's one down kind of on the waterfront. And I should have taken a picture because I think the houses are, it's literally you walk up, you know, maybe an 8-foot wide, 6-foot wide staircase, you know, 2 or 3 steps, just like you would go to a big home. And then you're in this courtyard that has maybe a 6-foot really beautiful pathway that winds through, you know, some people have, it might only be 5 feet by 5 feet, but they're growing tomatoes in front of their house, and then they all have big porches. But if you measured front door to front door, it might be 25, 30 feet. So it's really almost like, have you ever been to downtown Seattle where you have the floating homes? It's almost like living that close together. And there was there was three, and then there was six, and then maybe four, six, seven, eight, maybe eight. But they were all designed in the 50s. They were all the same, but boy, it looked awesome. It came down to they were one story, and the landscaping was fantastic. You know, if you took all that landscaping out, it would have looked real. So anyway, that's a scenario that it might not have been awesome to have different. So let's ask the architect on this one. And I'm just going to write suggestion on how we should implement F on the, from the front. Because if we say we want differing roof forms, I think we need to beef that up to address pitch and form. Would you guys agree, or at least have it? Yeah. Okay. And the beauty of having him come, I think you guys like really think through all your questions, so I can just run them by and say, hey, these are the kind of questions that are going to come up. Because it is really interesting to hear through the mind of somebody who's actually designing the space. Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving on, materials and colors. The materials we didn't get into. We think those are fine. I think the big caveat there is it was really a tough move for the city a while back to prohibit vinyl siding, and I can say that the vinyl siding is that, you know, those homes are not like they're not aging well, and I just think that's, I don't know if you guys even are going into that, but I think that steps up the quality in the neighborhood huge. Okay, so we didn't mess with that, so we got into building color because see a lot of these production neighborhoods now. Even though the colors are different, I think the biggest problem is all the trims are the same. So when you're looking down the street, this line, trim line, runs into, and the next house is white trim line going up, so it looks the same.
My problem with that is this is what we want the builder to do, but that customer, whether he likes it or not, will have that color and then we'll just go and paint it over. So I don't know that, how do you keep the sameness from happening, because it might be that person's preference instead of the dark color.
And I think that's okay. I think what's important is to, like, for example, Polygon has Polygon Green. And they have a trim color that's their signature color. So when you go out there, it's all Polygon Green. So if we require somebody to come in and at least the builder, before when they're marketing the houses, to have at least one trim color should be dark or not cream or white.
It gives that opportunity for the person.
Right. We don't require permits to paint. So if somebody comes in and a week later wants to repaint their house, go for it. But at least the builder was required to provide some diversity. Mm-hmm. So that's what our thoughts were there. And actually, homeowners associations put in their own color stuff, and we don't get into that either. So this is more for. So we upped the number of primary colors by almost doubling the 4 to 16, sorry. And then for 17 to 50, we want to see 12 different types from what was 8. And then 50, we said 15, just because at some point you force too many colors and now you got kind of a goofy, start getting.
So did you go through an exercise and just kind of build out and figure out how many should be available, or, you know, was there some kind of work behind coming up with the numbers?
Originally it was done based on kind of a standard approach that other communities has taken, the 12, 8, and like those numbers, and just talking with the architect, we kind of picked what we thought was a appropriate number. Okay. There is some latitude there, like especially in the over 50.
Just trying to figure out, like, you know, I'm picturing in my head a little bit, but if an architect with his experience gives a recommendation, then it's based on something. that he's had experience with or design knowledge.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's an opportunity for us to say, do you agree or not?
Mm-hmm. And I think this one you'll find the answer is, you know, there's not a magic number.
The 8 different colors for up to 16 residents or buildings, it seems like a lot of variety, possibly too much.
Well, we're not really defining what, clearly defining how different colors are. So a lot of times they come in and they're quite different in hue or, so like, I mean, in the end, they're all kind of.
I mean, imagine it's primarily going to be market driven.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have like the Garwin type color, and then you'll have something similar to that, but on a lighter, you know. So we figured if you did a subdivision or a short plot of 4, it's great. Everybody'd have to have a different color. Up to 8, everybody has a slightly different color. But you're still going to have likeness within those colors. But it does, you know, truthfully.
Would you say that 8 and 4, you see less ability to have diverse plans smaller builders, or it just depends?
Well, actually, sometimes the smaller builders have a lot more because they're more able to react to the consumer. The larger ones have to actually go in and, you know, a lot of them are buying their trusses out of this factory. So to ask for a different pitch line, they have to actually almost have 6 to 9 months ahead of time to adjust the production line down on the other end. So they really push back. Little guy who's not doing that is more about speed because he's carrying costs and wants to just get it. So he's adjusting faster.
That helps to know. Thank you.
So we kind of do feel, all of us planners agree that our, I think our...
You're good.
Yeah. It was on my mind.
Yeah, one of our, both Mike and I felt that the toughest one we're kind of not liking is the trim, the trim color being all the same. And they do it because the white vinyl windows, period. So, like if you look at Garwood, those are white vinyl, but the windows around the trim is actually the color of the building. And typically, they like to match the trim with the vinyl white window, so then that's why every poem is getting that same approach.
So, differing trim, but is trim required on our windows?
Trim is required.
It says differing trim on page 5. And so that's where I'm going back to.
Right.
You know, I think at least on the front, it should be required. Street facing or common area facing. Do you want me to point?
No, I know you're in color.
Five.
Oh.
Point C.
Right. You know what I'm.
It needs to be on page 6. Number 5, under window face, the second paragraph.
There it is. Yeah.
Addresses that.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I was looking for.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess I didn't come up with it in my head.
I haven't seen it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is where you got, you know, it's really interesting. When you require trim, you're requiring a craftsman look, period. You know, a lot of the mid-century modern wouldn't have trim. And that's where architecture is really interesting, because the more prescriptive you get, but if you would not require it and you got those homes being built without trim or like what they used to do is we refer to 2 inches. 2 inches, right? Yeah. Yeah, minimum. They would do like the really pokey skinny one, like inch and a half. But, you know, every time I see one of these things, I think, okay, now, picture a house you really like that's outside the box of what you're seeing being built. And could it be built? And that's where, you know, so that's where sometimes it's kind of nice to say, unless you're providing an architectural style that is custom, you know, there, do you know what I mean? And maybe, like, one thing we might want to talk about is a provision that says, if you're building a custom home, go for it. I mean, with some parameters of what that means.
Can we give options? Whether it be trim, shutters, you know, I don't know, aren't certain mm-hmm. modern buildings, non-vinyl white windows, trim can be replaced with, you know, architecturally. Some windows.
Well, it may be interesting to ask.
Because then you're providing the opportunity for different designs,
uh-huh.
but you're still requiring a certain standard.
Yeah, no, you know, it'd be interesting to ask Leroy if we required the, you know, but white vinyl shall not be used on more than half of it. So, because there's other options for. I don't know. That's a good...
I hesitate because you can paint your rooms any color, and if you have a white window, it doesn't matter. But if you have a colored window, then
sure.
you're limited on your palettes of choice for your rooms. So I'm not so sure about that.
I know. You guys, this is going to be the most interesting section because, like I said, this is like going in and trying to design a new kitchen, but not just with your spouse. With like seven people, and then take it, you know, because this is there's a lot in here.
It's easy with your spouse.
Yeah, that's what. Sure. Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Okay, so.
You heard it here.
So moving on from the color, are we kind of past color? You think?
No, I thought about the numbers and. You know, I get the beige and the variation of beige, and then a gray or a blue, you know, not being sufficient. So having eight gives a better palette of choices to the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
Get a green, get brown.
Well, I will have him go through those colors again, especially maybe the one where it says three trim colors. Shall be a darker. Because the other thing, too, is trim color actually ebbs and flows with style. Like, right now, it's really popular to have your trim a tad bit darker than your actual house. I don't know if you've noticed that. But that's a change from the 90s. Yeah, so it's kind of one of those things. You codify something that...
Well, we're not... Having one dot, they can have more than one.
Right.
You're saying you at least have to have one.
Well, that's true. And then the house could go, the color of the house could go either way. Yeah. You're right.
I'm still kind of stuck on the kind of the point that I don't feel like we closed on, which was the custom.
Oh,
option.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if we could hit that or open up that opportunity. Because, well, first of all, let's say, is this going to apply to, say, a vacant lot on 6th Street? It's zoned single family?
No, because it would be, it only applies to more than four units.
Okay.
So if you build one to three, you can kind of...
Okay, it's 16 or less on page four.
Let's go to the applicability.
That's kind of what I was wondering, is if you want to say two or more.
Wait, let's...
Or 16... 2 to 16.
Okay, so if you go to A on page 4, it says the following section of this outlines the design standards and guidelines for single family and cottage over 4. So, you know, I mean, just heads up, if somebody wants to build 1, 2, or 3, those three could look exactly the same.
And none of this is going to apply.
Right. And that might be something we don't want.
Well, we wouldn't want that, but what we would want would be to encourage that type of uniqueness.
Right.
but that would be a separate discussion. So,
would it?
Well, let's first talk. Are you guys thinking, because, oh, like if somebody comes in and they want to build two homes, right now we wouldn't have the authority to say, sorry, you need to change the look of them. So if you want that, we need to add two to four category. Because right now it's, it does not apply. Yeah. It doesn't happen.
All the buildable permit activity, would we ever see anything below four?
Below four? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there's the one hotel, but...
Well, we would see it in the...
You'll see infill.
No, I'm saying so on this report, because I'm just thinking back as, have I ever seen less than four? I'm trying to think of, you know, how often does it come to your desk and does it make it on this report, the buildable permit activity?
Isn't that what it's...
Yeah, you can
constrain low density, so...
Right. But that's what we could see.
But like if you... You could see two or three get built on the corner here over by the church. There's room for three small homes. We have five going in down there, but that's over, you know. It can definitely happen. I know over on 6th Street, there's two or three over there, right? Mm-hmm. There was...
three townhomes over there.
Yeah, three townhomes.
They're all the same.
Yeah, there you go. We've had that.
That's going to be... That right there. I mean, you live right by there. I'm thinking we're on third. That'd be really unfortunate.
So we should change it. We should add. So I'm just going to write add a provision to require anything over one. Yeah, two to four. Add. Oh, why don't we? Maybe it's just these shall apply to any cottage homes over two units. Two. So that means it would trigger under 16 or less. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we just did it. Good job. I think that's a good one.
Change.
Yeah, that's it. And it will make a big difference on small.
And that still opens up the possibility of one person coming in
mm-hmm.
and wanting to do a tutor that mm-hmm. might not fit with this, but it's quite pretty.
Yeah, one would totally be okay. To do anything you want. Okay. So we're kind of past color, so that puts us on to page 8. So let me refresh my memory what's on 8. So we renamed that section F to garages, because when you read that section, it was basically garages. And I highlighted that section where it says within the cottages and the garages shall be set back, and I just kind of noted that. Let's just kind of say, let's leave that one out there to talk about as we deal with the cottage. The driveway section is redundant because that's in the street performance standards, so we just thought, let's get rid of it. You can see our internal topic, what's the purpose of this, which is the sidewalks at C single family. That is kind of an irrelevant little call out. The performance standards require that there's direct access to the sidewalk, so we could keep it there as a call out, but it gets triggered anyway. So then the setback variation, I think Mary, you brought this up when we first started tonight. You said not just the architectural look, but so one thing that number one actually required the homes to be set to a line, and the reason for that is because you really want the living portion of your house close to the sidewalk when it's more dense, because it feels more like an old town where you walk down the street and there's porches and this and that. But in kind of production building, what that does is it ends up creating a line. So we deleted it, and then we wrote, we just added that, you know, we beefed up the to visually break up the monotony on a straight road. No more than four homes shall be sited in a row at the same setback. And we we gave 5 feet as the setback distance. I think anything more than that creates an awkward long driveway, because your minimum setback for your garage is 20 feet right now. So that means if we require every fourth house to be setback, you're going to have 25-foot driveways. And anything longer than that's going to look really awkward on it, unless you have a really large lot. So that's kind of why we came up with the 5.
Over on Forester Woods, there are a number of sections of that area where they have a house, and then there's a little road down just a ways, and then there's another house set back behind the other house, kind of hidden in a way.
Like a flag lot?
Right. So that's what it sounds called.
Do you like that?
Not particularly.
Okay. So, in the planning world, it's not, in the planning world, we try to avoid flag lots, because it's usually an awkward, like, they're developing an awkward piece of property that there's excess land, but they can't get the road back there or something, so it happens.
The shared road or whatever, parking and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that personally.
Yeah. We have a provision in our site design. That's why this is more vertical. So that stuff is going to come to you probably in the fall.
Okay.
And that's going to talk more about when we start trying to, like, I think one of the biggest changes is lot width. Because if you require, like, say you have a 50-foot lot, and you say the minimum is 50, and you allow a change, or you require a change of, let's say, 10 feet in width, so you go from 50 to 60. The same house, just a tad bit gets bigger, gets built on that 10, 50, 55, or 60. But if you actually go 50 and then every third has to be 20 feet, builders hate it. But they will build a different home on a 70-foot lot by lot. They will build a wide, shallow home versus long, skinny, just because it's a waste of land not to. Or if they don't, you have great side yard setback. You have a great side yard. So that stuff will come, but on the setbacks, this is kind of where we, to try to create a little bit of line. And then you couple that with the fact we're going to try and create more winding streets.
Mm-hmm.
So along the lines of a flag lot, if you have one driveway from the main street and then you have a house facing that driveway 4 in a row, what is that?
Say that one more time.
So you... Main street's here, and you pull off into a driveway, and each house is facing that driveway.
Oh. So, that's a shared driveway, and the shared driveway requirement. I can't get online, and the shared driveway requirement, I'm going to have to say we allow for units on a shared driveway, and the reason is this look. Sometimes, so sometimes you'll have, this is the street, so you'll have this, the driveway, and then you'll have, so you'll have kind of a little four pack.
Uh-huh.
But when that happens, usually, I don't think there was one scenario like that came up, we actually extended the cul-de-sac, because it was a weird spot. There had to be a cul-de-sac. Let me check the shared driveway. I think it's 4.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's just another thing, you know, if you're thinking about a flag, that's another kind of oddity, I guess you would say. It's not something going on. Kind of awesome. Gives a different feel.
You know, I'm throwing out ideas like I'm just in my office doing what I would be doing when I'm writing. So as I think about this, to break up visual monotony on a straight street, no more than 4 homes, what if we said something like, what if it was more like, would it be more diverse to have not 3 homes at this and then a fourth one, 3 and 4, because that's what they're going to do. What if it was almost like, let's say this is 20 foot, this is 22, the next one's 22, the next one's 25, you know? And so it was like, maybe not define it by 5 feet, but say, no more than 2 houses shall be set at the same dimension.
Same setback.
Same setback. And the the minimum difference is. See, two, but then what would happen is you would have to say something about requiring the next one to be more than, you know, do you see where I'm going? Because otherwise then they'll just set back that 2 feet. So you have to actually create a language that requires.
It's almost like in a group of five, each of those five have to be set back at a different distance.
Yeah.
A minimum of 20 feet.
Yeah, so would that get to what you would think is more attractive on a streetscape, or not? Because we could write that language if we needed to.
We're talking both single family and cottage. In cottage, I'm more lenient. In single family, yes. So if I'm in single family, I would want that variation and that diversity. In cottage, I'd be, you know, maybe the two share and then the next two don't, and then the two share a different one and then the next two.
Yeah.
There's got to be some kind of a term for a ladder or step in the design world, right?
Why don't I do this? Why don't I?
Everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me just kind of make a note to. See, cottages, too, the way the code is getting drafted right now is the council's really leaning towards cottages centered around a green. So, like, as I was writing that portion today, I was thinking, well, like, Federal Way requires 75% of the cottage homes to be abutting a green. So I almost feel like this is irrelevant for cottage once we get down the road. So, or maybe only for those 25 that potentially could be by the street. Let me just make a note to kind of come up with some good language that maybe we could share with you guys next meeting.
I'll just say, just as a final thought, to break up visual monotony on a straight street, fine. Four homes having the same one is still going to be monotonous on a street.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
So, it's going to be something.
Okay, so let's at least go no more than two homes, just to make a note here.
The variation.
Yeah.
At least 5 feet. Like the difference between
variation of at least 5 feet. Yeah, that actually. So for the variation of at least 5 feet. Let me think of it. So it would. So it's clear. Average between the two of them, or something like, you know, I don't know. I'll look around and see how some other cities have worded it, and come up with a good suggestion. But I get where we're going. Average,
it's
5 feet.
I recently house sat over in Tamworth, and really, I was there for about 5 days, so I kind of experienced it. Was also for the weekend, the connectivity or the lack thereof, and respect. These are the people factors that we none of, all this is one thing, but when you put people together, anything can happen.
Did you feel a sense of community, or
it was a synopsis. It was five days again, but I'm a meter and greeter anyway by nature, so I tend to look at people and say hello. But the kids were, you know, running in the streets, which I love. There's a little park there, and there's homes and kind of a cul-de-sac. Yes, the noise level was happening at points, but if you're purchasing homes in these kind of locations, you're probably more family-oriented to begin with, right? Or maybe
except for the one person that built their custom deck.
Right. That's, yeah. And the family that I was staying with, they don't have children. They're high-end entrepreneurs, and there's, you know, they have specific complaints about every neighbor because of they live a different existence, but there's no, you know, they choose to live there too.
So you have to come at Christmas when the guy puts on the radio station lights that with the singing reindeer.
I love it.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah,
they,
I don't
think
that's
there,
right.
Yeah,
yeah.
My kids love that.
But you know, I've experienced both sides of that living in the exact same spot.
Yeah.
Just my neighbors have changed. And before it was very autonomous. minimal interactions, new people have moved in with that mentality. It's wonderful. But so not always does the design bring in that the neighborly person.
Right.
Yeah, that's just
the just because you have density doesn't mean
nature.
Yeah,
right.
Congregation. Because my area, you know, was pretty rural. When we moved in, it was people bringing baked goods over.
And that's awesome.
You know, climbed mountains with our neighbors, got a location. Yeah.
No. I guess that would be the HOA and the relief factors that they can create that themselves.
Yeah.
We're going to have to think about this.
So, any more thoughts on our.
You want to. Where's
the. Oh, I was going to draw. So, if you put four homes next to each other, or lots, and you do the first one at 20 foot, the minimum, the next one at 22, the next one at 25 setback, and the fourth one, really, if your difference is only 5, does it really matter that it's 23, 24, or 21?
Probably not.
Yeah. So the number.
Why not just make it a group of 3?
That's where I was, yeah. Yeah, so let me.
It should not repeat.
That's a good word, yeah.
So right now I wrote, to break up the visual monotony of a straight road, no more than 2 homes shall be sited at the same front yard setback. And the minimum. Yeah, something about repeating. Okay, I'll come up with
it's
something for next week.
Repeat or cascade in and out, or whatever the correct term is.
Mirroring?
So you go, yes, mirroring.
Mirroring?
Okay. That's, yes.
Okay.
Well done. That's a good change. It should be random by nature.
Okay.
22, 20, 25.
Which could come become its own funny pattern. See, that's, you know.
But that's okay. There'd be enough separation and landscaping to break it up, and that's what you're.
Shall not repeat the same setback. Yeah. Should we? If we're saying every 2 should. 20 to 25 actually does visually separate.
Yeah, I'm thinking 3 and 23, 26. Why do I want another foot?
So
trying to think of the edge of the drive or edge of the garage to the next edge of the garage and a front porch that's going to come out, and it gives you maybe a feeling of more privacy and more seclusion by having that separation. If you're having, is it 6 foot deep, 3 feet of that for sure would be private, you know, or maybe the neighbor could be, you know, so far in front on one side and so far behind on the other.
So you're saying the difference should be 6 feet? Oh, I think this
three
is worth
six.
Yeah.
Because if you have the 6 foot and then you have you have 26, 20, and then you do 23.
Okay. Yeah.
There's still going to be some privacy.
Yeah.
Right on your front porch.
Okay. I'll bring you back some good language there for the public hearing and with the architect there so we can work through that. So that's it. That would be the section, which is kind of a nice section because it's actually a big impact, but a small section, which is helpful.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anything further from the commission? Any other questions or thoughts? I guess I'm gonna go to the order. Anybody? North Bend Block Party this weekend.
Absolutely.
It's gonna be a scavenger hunt.
It's gonna be a scavenger hunt. There's going to be a city booth, and you're going to check in there. Yeah. Yeah, Stacy was working on it today.
Is this going to be like a Pokemon game?
I don't.
You know, that's a great idea. It's not, but dang it, I wish it was. We'd be billionaires if we were. Yeah. City of North Bend just came up.
It's been some time since we spoke about our sustainability element. Quite a bit has changed, and I wonder, I'd like to possibly get that on our agenda at some point to talk about our residential design standards, sustainability requirements.
Okay. And are you thinking building code stuff, or what are you thinking?
I'm thinking energy efficiency, so like energy.gov, or whatever I've been looking at, the different forms that we don't talk about anything. And I'm thinking, how can we create something as a city, and not to reach in coffers, but we should think about it and discuss it.
Something more green then?
So not to go back to this issue that's closed, but that was something I thought of, you know, pitch and dormers, or what are they called? You know, the more corners you have in a house, the more areas for heat loss, for example. And so there's going to be a lot of overlap. I mean, we'll be coming back to something like this.
Not necessarily, because in sustainability, there are their own standards in a way, because you're building to a different LEED certified, or I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, LEED's great for commercial. Yeah, no, I'm thinking if we wanted to create a section, we either.
Because the ones that were built up on the Highlands, are they townhomes?
You mean the zero units or whatever they? They are townhomes, and townhomes are very much more sustainable because you're dealing with one wall, two homes sharing a wall. There's just one savings there, but.
Or you put eight together and then show the two.
Mm-hmm. I would almost suggest if that's creating a sustainable design. I'm throwing an idea out. It would be more of a sustainable design section of our code that says, you know, that provides, you know, because we don't have sections of the code that say, you know, you should create rain barrels, stockpile the water, and irrigate. If you want irrigated yards, do it that way. So all that could go into a sustainable design section, and then somehow you could create incentives somehow through, you know, whether it's, you know, impact fees or, you know, reductions or permit fees, or maybe it's something not even monetary. It's more, you know.
I think that would, you know, rain barrels would be applicable to water and sewer fees.
Right. That's so what, yeah, that's, so and.
I think that would be a good discussion.
The impact fees, I mean, that would only appeal to the first home buyer,
right,
as opposed to a tax reduction that would apply for the longevity of the home, as long as those
right.
systems are maintained.
Those
or a utility bill
utilities.
Or something, right. Yes.
For people who are existing, or state or federal.
Yeah. But there's a lot of other things, like, I know, you know, there's programs for, I mean, we're going to be seeing a lot more solar, just because solar product has improved tremendously in the last 10 years, and the prices come down. So stuff like that is, like, I think what we should do, I know the council's got a pretty, you know, heavy, like, cottage, we got to get it back because we got this moratorium and stuff in place. But let me share with them that idea, because I think it's a good one, and maybe we put it in the get their kind of feedback on priority, and if not, if anything, we could put it on next year's work plan. Because what we will need to do is create a team that includes building, architecture. So we're going to need a you know, a building expert, an architect on that group to create the right code, so it works for the builders.
And an energy expert.
Yeah, and an energy. So it's actually a more complicated task than some of the, you know, meaning the team would have to be multi-talented.
Makes sense.
in depth, like the energy. Yeah, that was a very
good point. One of my asks, and then the other ask I have is to figure out when we can talk about the Middle Fork Gateway.
You mean you mean the gateway coming in?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny. I'm going to write Bill Green just because that's a program that we can maybe put into this, even say something about
when we're talking about Gables, see sustainability.
Yeah, or just say all homes shall be built to Build Green Standard X. So let me look into that. Okay, so the gateway is a high priority of mine. It has not been like a huge... All this zoning stuff has really been taking the bulk of, along with trying to keep up with the development with all public works. Mike and I actually met today on, we've got a, what we call an RFP, request for proposals, ready, almost ready to publish. We were hoping to publish it early July. We're probably going to publish it late August. We have the money budgeted for this year, so we're going to publish it. We're going to get it going. I don't want to have to ask for more money on this one.
You got to spend it this year.
Yeah, and I've been rallying up Greenway to, I think you're in the know. I've met with the Greenway a couple times on just being part of the equation, and so that effort's going to start, I think, late August. We might try to get the RFP done by the end of July and then publish first week of. Mike's gone next week, so he and I both were talking about schedule. So,
what do you mean by RFP? I mean, I understand request for proposal, but to who?
Okay, so we requested, if I remember right, $48,000 from the council, and then on top of that, another $18,000 or $20,000 to actually implement from exit 34 coming into town. We want to. A conceptual design that we can take to an engineering level. This helps us go out for grants and stuff. So what we want to do is we want to design that road conceptually to show like medians, get truck traffic turning at only one or two locations, intersections and stuff like that. Right now it's a free-for-all. Beautify the street, put street trees in, widen sidewalks, you know. So what we need to do is we need to get a consulting team that has an engineer, urban planner, landscape architect. So we're writing.
That sounds like you and Mike.
and engineer. We need an engineer. But what we need is support. Mike. We need help. Yeah.
So you're proposing this to the council?
No, when we write a request for a proposal, we're saying, hey, professional world, we have $48,000 and this is what we want to do. We want to design this road.
Gotcha.
Bring us some proposals. And then they form their little teams with different groups, and then they come and present, and we pick the one we want.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So we're just looking to create a team to get that job done. So the $48,000 goes to pay their time.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Anything else?
We got the building permit payment for the hotel.
Awesome.
They're the slowest.
That's big.
Yeah, they're kind of been slow, but they've come in with.
Is it Marriott?
They say it's a Marriott Fairfield, but we have not seen the franchise agreement. So until I see that, it could change.
But it's Marriott Resorts that is.
Well, the owner of the property was working with a couple different hotels. He's been saying it's Marriott, but he also was looking at Holiday Inn. But the ones that he has shown us and right now what's in is a Marriott Fairfield.
And it's still a two-story. It's a two-story Westford.
No, it's a four-story. It can't exceed 55 feet. I said in a public meeting once, 55 stories. And so every time I say 55 now, I'm cautious. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so that's in. That was kind of hopeful.
So then on our planning activity, item number 10, John Day Homes, Tanner Falls Reclamation and Park. Is that just a new park, or what is that?
That should actually come active single family construct. That should be off. That is John Day. That is the John Day development just south of Tannerwood. And it started out John, I don't know how much of this you want to know, but John bought the property when it was still zoned EP1. But you guys had already recommended he bought it knowing that if the city council didn't rezone it, he owned an EP1 piece of property. In the EP1, you can build a park. So he proposed a park. And that's how he jump-started some of the, there was a lot, of, that was a reclamation site for DOT. And so there was a lot of just kind of garbage soil and stuff. So he had a lot of dirt work there that was unusual. Mm-hmm. So he kind of knew going in that if the zoning didn't change, he would own a park in the EP2 or EP1 zone. Council rezoned it. He submitted a subdivision, and that's what is now under. So this should probably come off because now it's actually being reviewed and developed as a subdivision.
Okay. Kinship Dog Arena, item number 24. Where's that going to be?
So that is off 8th Street, near Tollgate.
Awesome.
I don't know if that one's moving for in building permit review. It's moving forward.
Well, that will be a welcome thing.
Yeah.
More apartments are on the board. John Day, Orchard Street, 41.
Yeah. So John's... So if you drive down Orchard Street, you'll have apartments on your right and three kind of homes that got damaged in the explosion. He bought those three homes. And
so here's this site, right? You're going to the side.
Yeah.
So here's right here. So these three pieces of property, there's three homes on it, but the property, this, you know, the property's kind of big. So this whole site, actually, we thought was owned by DOT, but it's actually owned by the county, and they're going to dedicate it to the city. We're working on a quick claim deed for that. He's building 41 apartments right there.
Awesome.
And what was going to be nice is since the sale on this, we'll be able to kind of improve that more as...
create the walkability.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, we haven't designed it yet, but, you know...
Great.
I know SideView is happy about that. So that's it.
Oh, lots of activity in your world.
Yeah, it's a busy little town.
Mm-hmm. Okay, may I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn. Second.
All those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned at 8:32.
Will not be present.
You
want to? Oh.